This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Good morning, everybody, and I hope everybody's had a good Thanksgiving and, of course, a good start to this weekend, kind of a nice holiday-type weekend. I hope you get on the phones because we have plenty to talk about. The Apple Cup, big Seahawk game tomorrow, college football today with Michigan going against Ohio State as we speak. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Yeah, lots to catch up on because no shows, no live talk shows here for Thursday and Friday. So this is our one chance to kind of catch up on everything, talk about what's going to be coming up and what has happened. Of course, before that, and again, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get started with some headlines. Well, the Apple Cup, I mean, the Washington goes in there, plays great defense, despite some mistakes on both teams, gets a 28-15 victory, and so now they advance to take on, go to the Pac-12 championship game on Friday, taking on Utah, but a big win, disappointing loss now for Washington State. Their magical season just did not go well last night. Weather conditions certainly played a big part. I mean, wow, what a fun game to watch as far as the snow coming down the entire game, how it affected, I think, the footwork of the defensive players, particularly on Washington State. And so the Huskies now keep that advantage. They won six in a row over the Cougars, getting the win 28-15. Garner Minshew, of course, not having the type of day that he normally does. Washington did a good job of trying to drop eight and rush three and do take away some of the deep passes and all that, and methodical victory. And, of course, Jake Browning, great game. Miles Gaskin, good rushing. And so the Huskies now get the victory, and they win the North in the Pac-12. As far as football, the Seahawks, they won't have K.J. Wright for tomorrow's game against the Carolina Panthers. Game-time decision on Doug Baldwin with the groin. I think it looks okay, but we'll have to see before him. Devin Funches, the wide receiver, their number one wide receiver, tall guy, he's going to be out, missing the game. They should get Torrey Smith back. Those are the main injuries. So both teams in pretty good shape as far as injuries. And as far as the red, boy, that was a bad injury last night with the Central Florida quarterback. I mean, you got a broken leg, and of course now they had to have a big operation. Fortunately, it looks like they were able to save the leg, but boy, he took a really bad hit running out to his right. That was just horrible. And of course, we'll keep you up to date on all the scores as they come around. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton, how are we doing? This fine.
Good. Hey, I got to ask you a business question.
Yeah.
Is there any way that we can get our mail in Barbie Mill before 7:30 each night?
Mr. Clayton, I'm gonna call you. I'm gonna call them out. They change our starting times.
Yeah, because I was like, because what ends up happening is that sometimes we don't even get the mail. They'll bring it the next day, waiting until 7:30.
And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to put in a special request for you only, Mr. Clayton, to get your mail there pronto.
Well, you know, we got a lot of people here over in Barbie Mill. Like the mayor's here and, Scott Service is here. And it's like, we kind of like our mail before 7:30 or even the day of. Because
I
there's been about three times that, you go even past 7:30 and it's not even delivered till the next day.
I know. I understand. I'm going to try to see if I can get something expedited to get it done a little earlier than 7:30, 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, because, I mean, literally, I just had to go down, and I'd say, I'll go down to pick up the mail, and, like, I didn't know if the mail was going to be there or not. And I know because we have the informed delivery that, what's in the mail, it's just that we either get it 7:30 or not.
I'm going to try to see. I'm going to go ahead and put a special request after we get off the phone and go talk to him about that.
Okay.
And see what we can do. Yeah. I know it's a pain in the, but we're going to try to see if we can get something done for you.
Okay. Appreciate it.
All right.
That. Okay.
We'll try to do that.
Well, by the way, JB works in my post office, so.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been knowing each other for a long time.
Yes.
So we can have that conversation. Anyway, Mr. Clayton, what do you think about the games Thursday? With Dallas and Washington. Do you see Dallas as the favorite to win that division?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, because, I mean, you can just see the twists and turns of how that is all gone. I mean, Washington is just decimated with injuries. They lose Alex Smith. They lose two starters on the offensive line. Trent Williams, their left tackle, can't stay healthy. First it was a thumb surgery, then now he had, I guess, a rib injury. He had to be hospitalized and had to come back a day or two later. Then their receiving core has been all banged up. They're depending on a 33-year-old running back, Adrian Peterson. And to me, it's looking like he's starting to run out of gas. Now, defensively, they're good. They also have the easy schedule. Of all the teams in that division, they have the easiest closing schedule because they only play, you know, 4-6, 4-7 teams, but I just don't think they can sustain it. Where Dallas, particularly with the Amari Cooper addition, now they're better on offense, and they're pretty good on defense.
Yeah, they are. They're pretty decent on defense. They're actually, you know what I like? I like the two linebackers, the two young linebackers that they have. I think they're very, they're going to be a nice combination because Lee, I don't think you can depend on him anymore to be a 16-game player anymore.
No, agreed.
Yeah. So I like the transition Jerry Jones has made with the linebacking core. Now, the thing I would say to them, and I like Amari Cooper, the pickup of Amari Cooper, they need somebody opposite of Amari Cooper to give more production, and particularly from the tight end position. Because if you run across a pretty decent defense that can roll coverage to Amari Cooper, blanket him off, where do you go from there?
Yeah. Well, you got Cole Beasley and... Yeah, but that's the thing that's so strange. They've totally revamped the receiving core. Because remember, there was going to be Cole Beasley and Allen Hurns. Hurns has been all phased out right now. Hurns, of course, coming over from Jacksonville as a slot guy. And, you know, Beasley's a slot guy. And it didn't seem to be well put together. But at least Cooper, I mean, he's a outside guy. He, you know, allows him to spread the field a little bit more, open up some running lanes for Ezekiel Elliott. It turned out to be a nice trade.
Yeah, it did. It actually did. It's helping Dallas out, too. Their defense, to me, their defense is good. And their offensive line is starting to play a little better, too. I think they should give Ezekiel Elliott, I know it's not good to give him a ton of touches, but I think you have to work your offense from coming from running the ball with Ezekiel Elliott with the Cowboys, as far as they're concerned. Now, that being said, next Thursday, they got a pretty big game coming up. They're going to be playing the Saints. What do you think about that?
I think the Saints have the big advantage. They're just playing so well. And again, what the game is in New Orleans, right?
It's in Dallas.
Oh, it's in Dallas?
It's in Jerry's World.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be in Texas Stadium next Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, things are just rolling right now. I mean, how about the Saints on Thursday? You know, because now they've put extra coverage on Michael Thomas, basically going with four undrafted young receivers and getting touchdowns to all four.
And they all caught touchdowns.
Yeah. That's incredible.
I don't know what Sean Payton pulled these guys from, man. I mean, he's just, you know, a kid from Temple. Mm-hmm. I bet you nobody ever heard of that kid before.
Yeah,
just comes up. He turns a receiver into a tight end, and he catches a touchdown. Mm-hmm. In fact, Mr. Clayton, the undrafted tight end, led him in receptions.
I mean, isn't that just so weird? It's like, I mean, what we saw, and again, I you know what a big supporter of Patrick Mahomes I am, and of course I was at the game on Monday, and it was just thrilling to watch Mahomes and the 37 touchdown passes. But what Breeze is doing now puts him in the MVP top because he's doing it with less. I mean, I know he's got Alvin Kamara, and I know he's got Mark Ingram and Michael Thomas, but it's like four undrafted wide receivers.
Yeah. And an undrafted tight end.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing it with right now. Now, you look at it this way, Mr. Clayton. I think particularly their defense is starting to play a lot better, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting some production out of their defense. Now, in turn, turn back to the game Monday night. There wasn't much defense, you know, out there.
No.
Do you think that's a problem for Kansas City coming down the road in the AFC playing a Pittsburgh?
You would think so, yeah.
Not that they can stop them, but they can slow them down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at Ben Roethlisberger. Those boys can go out there and put up some points, too, also.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, all the top teams right now are scoring teams.
I know.
I mean, whether it's New Orleans or the Rams or Kansas City or Pittsburgh, I mean, it's just offense. I mean, of that group, and you can look at the Chargers. I mean, they can score some points, although they didn't against
Denver. You know, once they get Joey Bosa back into the equation, I think they could be a much more formidable team out there as far as that's concerned. Once Joey Bosa comes back in, you know, into form. I mean, he just got back last week,
right?
So you can't expect him to come out there and just tear things up right now. So, but hey, let's turn our attention to some of them games coming up Sunday, Mr. Clayton,
okay.
That could have some high implications in there right now. You know, Cincinnati, can they hold on to that sixth spot in the
NFC? No, Cincinnati's going to drop. They got too many injuries.
Yeah, they're suffering a lot.
Yeah, and their defense has just been terrible. You know, they had to fire the defensive coordinator. It's a mess.
We were just talking about them. Pittsburgh going to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Denver got them a nice little win last week against San Diego. What do you think about that game?
I'll tell you what. I mean, Denver was so outplayed, and what the Chargers did, because I went to that game, is that they just basically handed it to them. I mean, the way the game was going, it was, and Philip Rivers phrased it the best, he thought it was going to be a 33-7 game. So what happens is, you know, Von Miller makes an incredible read in the second quarter and gets an interception that was a momentum changer, and it allowed the Broncos to kind of crawl back in the game, and then just bad mistakes in the fourth quarter, you know, gave the game over to the Broncos. And so that was kind of a gift.
Yeah, it definitely was. You know, I'm going to tell you a team, I think we've talked about them before, and they're starting to impress me a lot. This is the Indianapolis Colts.
Yes.
They're playing some good football. Now, they got Miami coming to town. I could see them taking Miami out. Does the Colts have a chance to get in the playoffs?
100%. I think they have the best chance of the 5-5 teams, mainly because their defense is getting better, and Andrew Luck has gone 5 games without a sack. He's playing some of his best football, and even though that he doesn't have a lot of weapons, I mean, they're just on a roll.
Yeah, definitely. You know, another team is going to, the Giants, even though I know they're not have a great record, I was pretty impressed how they played last week and how they moved the ball around and stuff. Now they're going to go to Philadelphia. Philadelphia is not looking that good.
No, they are not.
Do the Giants have a chance to upset them?
Maybe, but I think it's good. But, you know, right now the Eagles they're off. I mean, I don't know what it is. And, of course, I mean, here's where the Eagles have problems. They're down 4 and maybe 5 cornerbacks.
I know.
I mean, four cornerbacks have already been scratched.
Yeah.
So there's nothing there in the secondary.
Odell Beckham's coming to town, Mr. Clay.
Yeah, so I think that this is a game where, really, I think the Giants might be able to go in there and take the win. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a team lose 4 cornerbacks. And, of course, their fifth is questionable, and they don't know if he's going to be able to play.
Jeez, what you rolling out there with, Mr. Clayton?
Mm-hmm.
There's not much left.
No, in fact, get through practice, they had to take wide receivers and put them over at cornerback.
Not good.
No.
Not good at all. Is the Ravens have their quarterback back for this week?
They do not. It's going to be Lamar Jackson.
Are they going with Jackson again?
Yeah, Jackson has to go again because Flacco hasn't practiced at all because of the hip injury.
Hey, does Jacksonville just have a problem, Mr. Clayton, of closing the game out?
Well, yeah, when your quarterback is one that is no good, that's a problem. But I think the big thing is on defense. Defensively, they're just. I mean, Blake Bortles is terrible.
Terrible.
But JB, I've got to run.
All right, Mr. Clayton, have a good one. We'll talk next week, sir.
All right, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Load up the phone lines, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Your thoughts on last night's Apple Cup with the Huskies getting a 28-15 victory, and all of a sudden, it was all said that if they won out, they would be able to maybe go ahead and get to that Pac-12 championship game, and now that did happen. And so, big victory, and of course, major disappointment. If you're Washington State right now, boy, how bad do you have to feel in the sense that, you've had, this was your magical season. I mean, you had everything rolling. You had the home game. And then, unfortunately, it was you could almost call it a flat performance, not one that you would expect that they would have. Again, this was probably the best team that has been put together by Mike Leach. And, with Gardner Minshew out there doing what he was doing, I mean, everything seemed to be perfectly on a roll. And you figure, okay, this is it. And, the Huskies came in and just did business. And I think the one thing that I noticed was I think the late buy really kept that team fresh. Because, I mean, instead of, you know, attrition and guys not coming back, they had guys coming back. I mean, Bryant was able to come out there, and you can see that his legs were fresh as he was going downfield, making some catches. And I think that, you know, Adams, of course, was still not 100%, but when the left tackle went down, he was, you know, kind of available and was going to play a little bit, but he came in there and helped. And the offensive line, I think, did a great job of protecting Jake Browning. So your thoughts on that? 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jeff. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, good morning, John. I'm jogging around for you today.
I appreciate it.
Hey, my question is on the running back.
Rashad Penny?
Child abuser.
What's that?
Adrian Peterson.
Okay, Adrian Peterson, right.
Well, I mean, he comes out and admits he's still going to take your belt to his child?
That is correct. I don't know what brought that conversation up, but that's what he said this week.
You know, I unfortunately had a stepfather that was a child abuser and used the belt, and, you know, that scarred me for, you know, multiple years. I just can't see, is the NFL going to hand out some repercussions to this?
I would think not. I mean, remember, he's already had to serve a 6 or 8-game suspension because of that. And I think just because he said it, I mean, I don't think there's double jeopardy on that, but it's not, I don't think it's a very, I mean, I don't know why you would even go say that.
To it. I mean, it's just idiotic.
Yeah. Now, again, it's like, you know, people are raised a certain way, and, you know, I can't, having never lived Adrian Peterson's life and what it was, I guess, you know, that's the way it's done where he grew up or the parents and all around that. But, boy, to admit that, it's just remarkable.
Yeah, I'm just saddened to think that, you know, in this time and age that, you know, corporal punishment with an item other than the smack on the butt, using a belt on a child, I just can't see it. I mean, they said a kid is like 8 or 9 now.
Right.
How bad can a child be at that age?
Mm-hmm. Agreed. It's just baffling that. But again, what amazes me is how did the conversation start that he could be quoted on that? And it wasn't like he was misquoted or anything of that nature. I mean, he just said it.
Yeah, well, common sense is not in abundance sometimes.
No, that's true. But that was just a remarkable statement. But, you know, and what a remarkable comeback for him. I mean, 33 years old, and, you know, at least his running, at one point he was on pace for like 1,300 yards. I think he's starting to slow down now. But, man, that was the statement just came right out of the blue.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's hard to look at the guy without thinking about that taint on his persona.
Right, exactly.
Okay, God bless you, John.
All right, Jeff, hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It was a remarkable thing. And, boy, you talk about what a turnaround for the Redskins. I mean, here they are. They're sitting at a nice 6-3 record. Now they've lost 2 in a row. The easy schedule. I mean, last week they were hopeless against Houston. You know, they have to go with Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy comes in, throws 3 interceptions. The offense just really doesn't have a lot because of all the injuries. And, of course, that offensive line, which at one point with Bill Callahan was considered to be pretty good, is just a shell of itself. But that's a second straight year. Because remember when the Redskins came out to Seattle, they were all banged up too. They had all these they started the week with 11 offensive linemen because they had to have the extra linemen because of all the injuries. And then they had five that were injured, 4 that were injured. They had to make room for one. I think it was Chance Warmack. They had to cut just to get some room on the roster for a safety. And then 4 were down. They did have Brandon Scherff with a knee injury active, but he was no way that he was going to be able to play. So that a remarkable thing that's going on. So, we'll see where that goes. But in the end, it was a tough stretch right now for the Redskins, even though the division was all set up for them. I mean, they're sitting there, very few games against winning teams after the game against Houston that they had to play. Houston, they played Sunday and lost, and lost at home. Houston now 6-3. And boy, it's sad news in the National Football League. Bob McNair, the owner of the Texans, passed away. A good owner. He had, you know, risen to the point where he was on the finance committee. He had a lot of clout around the league. A gentleman that really, he made that franchise, tried to make it as good as it possibly can be, but now he passes at the age of 81. It looks like his son Clay is going to run the franchise, and they got plenty of people in the family, so it looks like it's going to stay in the McNair family. But Bob McNair was the one who was able to get the franchise going. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Tell you what, we're going to take a break and come back. David Newton from ESPN.com, who covers the Carolina Panthers, will give us a preview of the Panthers coming up. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
And joining us is David Newton from ESPN.com. David, looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. And so, big game between Carolina and Seattle. What's happened to the Panthers the last couple weeks?
Well, John, that's really kind of got out of the thing. That Thursday night game was just an example of what can happen to a visiting team playing a very good team, in a short week. You know, Pittsburgh were just playing and hitting all cylinders. Ben Roethlisberger played about as well as I've ever seen them play. And the Lions game, I really thought they'd come out fresh and play well. And it almost seemed like they were playing tight there for a while, almost not to lose. And then at the end, then Ron Rivera went too. I understood what he was saying. He was going for the win, but at that point, it showed me he had no confidence in his kicker and his defense to stop the Lions. And I really felt like they should have gone for the tie at that point.
Yeah, I'm still baffled. I know that it's almost up to like 60-some percent as far as what fourth down and twos and all that stuff. But, I mean, the two-point conversion, I think, to me, we've seen – I mean, can you imagine how the playoff race would be had Tennessee not done that, which, of course, Mike Vrabel did it and it cost him a game. You know, you had Frank Reich, instead of punting, he goes for the fourth down and ends up losing the game on a field goal. That would have been a win, and it'd be 6-4. Then you have this decision by Rivera, which, you know, go for the tie. I don't care if it's on the road. It's like – and don't you love the response? It's like, oh, I do this all the time. It's like, if you do it all the time, you're going to lose too many games.
It was funny. I think they hadn't had a tie in 51 games or something like that. So one of the longest streaks in the NFL. I was just baffled by it. I felt like it was almost a desperation move to try to get this team back on track. It didn't go with the riverboat run that we knew from the 2013 season, where he was just going 4-on-4 down because Minnesota trying to get things turned around. This seemed to be a lot more desperate to try to get things going. They have to find a way to win on the road if they have a chance to be a contender in the NFC. And actually, nobody's going to catch the Saints, at least in the NFC South. If they want to do anything in the playoffs, they're going to have to go on the road. So they've got to find a way to do that.
Yeah, no doubt. First, I guess the one matchup that's going to be fascinating is going to be, you know, I think two of the leading candidates for assistant coach of the year. Mike Solari has taken this offensive line, and now they've become a force, taking one of the worst running teams and now making it the number one running team in football. And then North Turner's done incredible stuff with Cam Newton.
Yeah, they've both done remarkable jobs. It's going to be interesting how this game goes. The Panthers, in the games they've lost, they've struggled to stop the run. And let the consistently stop the run and give them some big gash plays and put themselves in some bad situations and let the other team set up the play action that's really hurt them. On the other side, Cam Newton, even though they lost last week, his numbers were pretty good. I mean, the interception, I just think that he's playing at a very high level right now. He can cause Seattle some problems, but again, and the Panthers have done a really good job with Ron Wilson in the past. So it's going to be a lot of key matchups to keep an eye on this game.
Yeah, I guess the defense had a bad tackling game against Detroit on Sunday.
That baffled me how bad of it, because they've always prided themselves on being a great tackling team. And there was one play where you saw, you know, the rookie Dante Jackson and Luke Kuechly miss a tackle on the same play, and both of those are pretty sure tackles, especially Kuechly. Well, I think he's got more tackles than any player in the league in 2012. So that's something they can fix rather quickly, and they got to fix that, because that just showed me they weren't focused like they should be.
No doubt. The injuries now, of course, Devin Funchess, and did he really drop as many as four passes on Sunday?
I counted five, to be honest.
Wow.
Yeah. One of those was a touchdown, too. I mean, it really was a bad game for a guy that's, you know, going to be going to free agency after the season. I wrote a week or so ago that it's going to be interesting to see the Panthers try to re-sign him. I mean, because now he considers himself a number one receiver, but he's not playing like a number one. And I think they've got a candidate for number one, you know, and what they got in the first round this past year, and DJ Moore moving forward. And they've got a lot of good young receivers with DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel. They've already got Jerry Ashraya. He's locked up for next year. You got Torrey Smith, who's coming back from injury this week after missing a month with a knee injury. So they've got a lot of pieces already in place. So I think they've got bigger needs in the offseason of the field than another wide receiver.
Yeah. In fact, how are they using, of course, with Devin being scratched tomorrow, how are they going to try to rotate the receivers?
Well, Torrey's back. I mean, you'll see probably move back over where Devin was. It's just a matter of if he's gotten all his speed back. He said a few weeks ago that if it's been the playoffs, he probably would have been more aggressive with his rehab and could have been back sooner. So they've given him plenty of time to heal. They feel like he's ready to go. So they'll just use him, and they'll use DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Jerry Strike, just like they have been here for the past month when Torrey's been out. I mean, actually, it's been kind of a blessing for him when Torrey went out because they finally started using DJ Moore like he ought to be used.
Yeah, well, that's the one thing. It looked like there was a concerted effort to try to get more speed in the receiving core, and that has seemed to work.
Yeah, that's something that General Manager Marty Herney did last year when he got rid of Kelvin Benjamin and traded him to Buffalo, because he just felt that Kelvin and Funches were too much the same player. They needed to get more speed on that field, and it helped him the second half of last year. And that's just kind of been his MO. He had Steve Smith and a lot of fast receivers back in the day when he was first building the team. So that's been key for them. And it was really crazy because, like, 3 weeks ago, this offense looked like one of the most dynamic offenses in the league. Nobody looked like to stop them. And now all of a sudden they've settled down, not playing very well. The defense is making mistakes, and this team all of a sudden like a pretty lock for a playoff spot. They're kind of questionable right now.
Yeah. How's the spirits right now? Because I would imagine that there's got to be a little bit of panic the way things have gone, particularly in the Detroit game.
Well, I mean, the way the NFC has gone this year, really not a panic situation right now. They're still pretty good at 7-4, but this is a really big game. I mean, Seattle's 5-5. They win. They're tied with the Panthers at 6-5 for that wild card spot. So the Panthers really need to win this, and they can afford to get in that situation with tiebreakers. Because if Dallas takes charge of the NFC East, the Panthers can't win the tiebreaker for a wild card against Washington. They were to kind of rally. So they've lost some games there that they need to make sure they don't lose another one in the NFC that could cost them to get in that tiebreaker spot.
Yeah, no doubt. Defensively, I guess still the one question that's been there for the last couple of years, pass rush. Is there enough pass rush right now on this team?
Not right now. It's I thought it was really interesting that on the big play where Detroit scored what turned out to be the winning touchdown, they had a rookie out there that had not been active for like 7 games. So they're really kind of groping for things right now. Julius Peppers played well. He's just not getting that pass rush. A lot of teams are throwing the ball quickly against them, so that's part of it. They've been behind in some games. That's part of it because you don't have as much of a rush there. But they've really got to find some ways to get that pass rush because they've been really one of the top sack teams in the league over the last few years, and they're way down the list right now, and that's really key for this offense, defense.
Yeah, and it does look like Kawan Short's not been getting the pass rush he normally gets.
No, he's there. Really, preseason, when you put Dontari Poe there in the middle, with his ball size and ability to push up the middle, you really think Kawan Short was going to have a big year. And he hasn't had a sack since the opening game. So that, he was talking about that the other day. He really feels like that he's got to get that part of his game going. The rest of his game has been pretty good. I mean, he's been pretty good against the run and doing a lot of the other things. But, again, they just haven't put it all together. I really thought this was going to be a top 10, maybe top 5 defense to start the season. And they really haven't come close yet.
Yeah, no question. Secondary, how good is that?
Yeah, they were showing glimpses of being really good, you know, up until the last 2 weeks. I love the rookie Dante Jackson. I think he's going to be a star in the future, and he's played really well. He's got 4 interceptions this year, but the last couple of weeks he's given up a couple of big plays. One of them was against Antonio Brown, and a lot of, you know, veteran cornerbacks giving up big plays to Antonio Brown. But he's well. Bradbury has been playing solid on the other side. He's played against some of the top receivers in the league this year and done a pretty good job against them. Did have a breakdown a couple of weeks ago where he didn't play well, but for overall, he's played well. In the safety position with Eric Reed and Mike Adams played fairly well, but they're still giving up a lot of touchdowns back there. And I think that goes back to they're not getting the pass rush to put pressure on the quarterbacks, and any quarterback, even average, was going to stand back there and make good plays if he's got time.
No question. And, of course, kind of take us through what Norv has done schematically that's made Cam now a 68% thrower and the offense, being a little bit more receptive in throwing the ball.
A lot of it just goes to mindset. I mean, he worked with Cam a lot on footwork and getting his mechanics down during the offseason and that mindset to take what the other team's given him, and he's really bought into that. There's been times in the past. He got a little bit of his old habits the last couple of weeks. I saw a few times where he would hold on to the ball too long, take a sack. But for the most part, Cam's been really good just dumping the ball off to McCaffrey or to Samuel or to DJ Moore and just taking what's there, letting them use their speed and playmaking ability to get things done. And Norv's the one that's really, I mean, those are the days of him working with Emmitt Smith and not even the days of with Andy and Tomlinson where he let those guys be the workhorse. He's got a lot of different things he's putting in place, and a lot of times it looks almost like college offense with a lot of motions and routes the receivers were running. So he studied the RPO a lot while he was out of football for a few years, and he's really gotten – everybody's kind of bought into it, and Cam especially, and I really think that what he's done has been key to why they've been successful this year. But, again, they've got to get to what they were doing 3 or 4 weeks ago when they were really putting a lot of points on the board and really stressing defenses. They just haven't done here that the last couple of weeks.
No, no question about it. And, of course, Christian McCaffrey is just a unique back. What different things is Norv doing with him?
He's doing a lot of the same things Mike Shula did, but just a lot more with that. Now that he's out there all the time, he's playing like 96% of the snaps, and that wasn't the case the last year when he had Jonathan Stewart back there sharing the backfield. So he's just mixing it up in a lot of ways. He's splitting him out. He's letting him carry the ball. He's been an effective guy between the tackles. And then again, with those other young receivers they've got, they can blend those guys in. Every time you'll see T.J. Moore pop into the backfield with McCaffrey, and then McCaffrey will slide out. Same thing with Curtis Samuel, who played wide receiver some and running back at Ohio State. So they just got a lot of versatility back there with a lot of young players and a lot of speed to go with that. And that's just allowed Norv to do a lot.
Oh, no question. So it's going to be an interesting game, one that a lot is on the line. It's not an elimination game because, again, it's kind of a three-way race at the moment for that the two wild cards, Minnesota kind of being in the mix too. So lots going on. Of course, Minnesota has a big game against Green Bay on Sunday night. Hey, David Newton, looking forward to seeing you tomorrow in Charlotte. Have a good day today.
Appreciate it, John. Have a good day, too.
All right. That's David Newton from the ESPN.com. Read him. And, of course, give us a call, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, Michigan State. Michigan was just driving. It was 7-0 Ohio State. Interesting matchup, and of course, both have a lot on the line. Probably more Urban Meyer has a lot more on the line because you kind of wonder with his health and all the crazy things that are going on with him, how they're doing. Technically, right now it's Ohio State 7, Michigan 3. Michigan is driving and throwing into the end zone and incomplete. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Lots to talk about as far as what's going on with the. With what's going to be a big game. It does, again, K.J. Wright not going to be able to play, but the team is pretty healthy. Now, Doug Baldwin's obviously going to be one of the keys, and he's fighting a little bit of a groin injury, and that's kind of nicked him up. They kept him out of practice yesterday. I still think they're reasonably optimistic that he's going to be able to play, but still that's to be determined. That'll be in the game time warm-up. And, again, as we talked to David Newton, David Funchess is going to be out of this game. He's the tall wide receiver. Considered to be their number one, but he's going to be a scratch, and they are looking to see that Torrey Smith is going to be back. But a big game, and one that, it's an important win if Seattle can do it. It's not a must win. The must win is if they lose this game, they have to beat the Minnesota Vikings. And, of course, Minnesota, that's going to be a critical game tomorrow because the Vikings play on Sunday night. And they are at home, but if they lose to the Green Bay Packers, they're going to be in trouble because now, and remember, this Viking team, for whatever reason, does not play well on prime time. They've really struggled, and so that's going to go. But, you know, so far in the last 2 weeks, things have gone well for what the Seahawks need, with key teams in the NFC losing and key teams winning, because now it looks like Chicago has the best chance to win the NFC North. The fact that they, you know, have now got that three-game winning streak at the right time, getting Detroit twice and winning on Thanksgiving. So they're sitting there, you know, with a good 8-3 record. And, of course, the tiebreaker, Seattle would lose to them. This tiebreaker against Minnesota, they can control Seattle if they end up winning that football game. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Rick in Twin Lakes. Hey, Rick.
Oh, good morning, John.
Good morning.
I hope you had a pleasant holiday.
Yes, how about you?
Oh, yeah. All good. I was something was bothering me about the last previous the two previous games that the Seahawks played, and I went back and looked at the tapes, and it's not only the guys that are getting behind the defensive backs, they're also losing containment, particularly on the jet sweeps, and then. Remember when Rodgers hit the big play to the tight end?
Right.
Number 93 had containment on the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Rodgers ended up going to his right where the containment was and throwing a what the containment should have been and hitting a big pass. Well, number 93 decided he couldn't get to the quarterback from where he was, so he ran up toward the middle over to the other side in an attempt to get to Rodgers. Well, Rodgers floated to his right, boom, hit the touchdown. Well, the thing is, these guys aren't particularly following their assignments. And they're the young guys or the new guys. You know, first of all, they're letting guys get behind them. They're not keeping the play in front of them. And they're not keeping their responsibility. Now, we all talk about the Seahawks being in great position. They're in a prime spot to go to the playoffs. But if those guys keep playing these good teams, they're going to be running up some good teams now, starting with Cam Newton. If you lose containment on Cam, he's going to be down the field.
Right.
He's going to take some really good hits to stop him. And speaking of hits, there's a couple guys that aren't making tackles. And number one of them is Coleman. He needs to find out how to way to go low and to secure the tackle. But I like you said, I like everybody else here. I like the Hawks. I like the position that they got themselves in. But they still have to play better in order to make the playoffs.
Oh, no question. But remember, I mean, they went through this four-game stretch where they're taking on real good quarterbacks or creative offenses, and that's where you're going to be at a disadvantage if you're going to be a young team. And so that should start to slow down and get better because, again, you know, then you go from Cam Newton to Nick Mullins. Then we'll see where it goes with Kirk Cousins. But, no, I think that stuff's starting to clear up right now and should start to clear up this week. It's just now a matter of making sure that you know, they do just play better. But again, you know, this was a tough stretch. I mean, I was surprised that because again, you know, they gave up yards, you know, they gave up contain and they gave up big plays and chunk plays and all that stuff, but you knew that was going to be the case for those four games against these top quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's true. And like I said, like you said, the top quarterbacks, they will take advantage. You give them an opening and they will find it.
Mm-hmm.
But what was particularly impressive about the last game that they played against the Packers was that Wilson had a terrible first half, and I didn't realize how bad it was until I saw the game again this morning. He not only missed Doug Baldwin for the touchdown, he was throwing the ball high. It's like his footwork was messed up. But then when he escaped the pocket and was heading down the field, he decided to do something, some kind of lateral or something. And anyway, he ended up going forward and out of bounds, and they had a 10-second runoff. And but the great thing was that they overcame that. Last year, the Seahawks, the whole team was Russell Wilson.
Right.
If he went bad, they had no chance. And as bad as Russell played, it was still 21-17 at halftime. That was the most amazing part of that game.
Oh, no question. And that's where, you know, you go through this tough stretch, but I think that you can see the team's getting more confident, which I think is important. And I think the team is getting better, which is important. So now
that's true. Hey, go Hawks.
Okay, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Michigan only gets a field goal out of that. Hey, they're having trouble against Ohio State. They're trailing now 7-6. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh, you know, this is a must-win. And, of course, I mean, the pressure is on him, too, because, you know, he's not had great success since coming to Michigan against Ohio State. And that's one of the things that you're judged on if you're going to be out there as a head coach of Michigan. But, again, he's not in any trouble because they're certainly in the top four right now. Ohio State's trying to claw their way back in. 7-6, it should be a pretty good football game. All right, this is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.